October 1st means new laws are taking effect starting today. Joining us to talk all about it is State Senator Jeff Gordon. He happens to serve as a ranking member on the Veterans Affairs Committee. Senator Gordon, welcome back. I actually want to start with the legislation better supporting veterans. I know there was a recent event, a ceremony, kind of marking these two public acts and all the things it would be doing for our state's veterans. Do you mind starting there and talking about that?
Happy to do so. Good morning. There were two big veterans bills. We call them HERO Act 1 and HERO Act 2. A lot of different things we did this year. One of them dealt with a number of what we call non-fiscal matters. That means the state doesn't really have to spend money on it. Some of them were recognizing women veterans and establishing November as a Veterans Month, which the state of Connecticut actually hadn't previously done. We also did some things to try to better deal with ways of exempting certain veterans from certain fees, such as for certain license renewals and other types of fees. Those are more technical type of things that we did that we heard from the agencies about. But the other bill we did that really got into some bigger things was to try to appropriate more money to better help veterans and their families, including ways when we deal with veterans or actually those in the military who are enlisting and want to join the military, trying to better help veterans and their families with various types of benefits they get from the state, where they used to be penalized if they were getting some benefits from the federal government. We reworked that to make certain that state benefits they could still try to get in full, in addition to anything they were getting from the federal government. That was a work that we were doing for at least a good year to try to get that done. And we also recognize that we have a lot of veterans who, when they leave the military, like the National Guard, want to stay in the state and want to work in the state or even go to further schooling in the state. So we improved ways for them to get certain types of tuition benefits, workforce development benefits to try to keep them here, especially the skills they earn when they're training and serving here in Connecticut. We definitely would like them and their families to stay here in Connecticut. And we also are making certain we're bolstering staff resources at the Department of Veterans Affairs, including something very important to me, which is a multi-year effort to make certain we can help that department better help veterans in their towns, including the municipal veteran agencies and the veteran service officers that go out to the communities. So that's been a multi-year effort that we've continued to bolster this year, and we're going to continue to work on those next legislative session.
So a couple things there, Senator Gordon. First of all, just that last point you made. I'm curious, when we talk about finding more roles or kind of helping veterans in their own municipalities, does that include more opportunities to become resource officers? I've heard from several towns and cities in our listening area where they would love to have resource officers, but maybe the police departments don't have the resources to do so. But veterans have said, well, I would love that job. I would love to feel like I am still protecting people in some regard or that I take on this role. And I've seen some towns do this, but I wasn't sure if that falls under this purview you're talking about.
That falls under the purview of the Public Safety and Security Committee, and that's been something I've worked on previously, where I've heard from my own towns I represent in Northeast Connecticut that there are veterans who have trained as military police officers, and why is it difficult for them to become, for example, school resource officers? They have the skills, they have the training, and they would like to serve their community after they've left the military. I know we've worked on some things to make that easier, and I believe there's some things we can do to improve the law, hopefully next session, to make that even better. But that's something that's more of a public safety. But it does dovetail with those veterans who want to serve. And if they would like to and help their community, we should make that easier for them, because we already know they've gotten the training from the federal government through the military, through the National Guard. So it's not as if there's a lengthy check process on them. We already have that on file for them.
Mm-hmm. And another thing, too, that you had mentioned before was that we're recognizing November as Veterans Month, which I think is, you know, obviously very respectful. But what does that exactly mean? Is it just essentially that that Connecticut is really recognizing the importance of our veterans, or does anything come with the fact that we're now making November Veterans Month?
It's more starting with a formal recognition, just not Veterans Day, but really saying it's the whole month. And then the hope is that as we move forward, we can use that month to try to highlight various programs and efforts that are being done by the Department of Veteran Affairs and things the legislature might be able to do to better help veterans and their families. I always tell veterans that every day is a day to say thank you and recognize what they've done in their families. But this is a step forward for the state, and we think it can springboard into other things. But this is the first step that the committee decided to take.
I couldn't agree with you more. And again, we've got State Senator Jeff Gordon here, who's a ranking member on the Veterans Affairs Committee. And there were a couple of bills signed into law. And it all is to really better support our veterans in Connecticut. Another thing that was brought up before the legislative session was the fact that we are running out of room at our cemeteries for our veterans. Is that being addressed at all?
Yes, it is being addressed. We did have discussions with Commissioner Welch of the Department of Veterans Affairs this session about that problem. I also serve on the Appropriations Committee, and I brought that up as well when the commissioner came before us to talk about his agency's budget. We are running out of room in the cemetery. That's something that we have to address now in order to get all the pieces in place. My understanding from the last update I got from the department was that there are things actually being looked at to see what to do and trying to get all the moving parts in place so that way once things are finalized with getting a parcel of land, everything that has to be done to then make a new cemetery or cemetery expansion happen can then happen. You can imagine there's a lot of moving parts to it, but it is a priority of the commissioner. I commend him for that. He's brought that to our attention, and it is something that very much we are committed to do, and I can tell you myself and my colleagues, we're very much looking to see what more we can do to help fund that once we get further plans.
We're chatting with State Senator Jeff Gordon, and we're talking about now that we're in October, what laws are in effect, and going from veterans to now let's talk about crime. And I know street takeovers once again taking center stage for our state legislature. What's the very latest now? We're kind of giving more, I'm not going to say rights, but we're really trying to help our municipalities out with handling these incidents, right, Senator?
Oh, absolutely. And this is something that has even affected my district. We had a massive street takeover in Tallinn a few years ago and had a whole public forum with the state police about what to do about it. What we've doing in the legislature is ratcheting up the penalties and the severity of the penalties to go along at the same time with the police continuing to be as proactive as they can, going after these criminals, these street gangs that do these street takeovers. So the penalties are going up as far as allowing municipalities to pass ordinances to create penalties that they can create themselves in addition to whatever the police or the state sets. But also when these vehicles are seized as part of these street takeover crimes, to now allow municipalities not just to seize them, but also through a criminal proceeding to these vehicles can be forfeited and can be then dealt with. And that includes actually dirt bikes, motorcycles, just not cars that are involved in these street takeovers. And it also is requiring higher fines and higher penalties, including when these people are doing repeat events. And it dovetails with an effort that's being done to really also get at a lot of this type of reckless behavior, including reckless driving on the streets and highways. That's part of these street takeovers, and there's a separate law that actually ratcheted up penalties, including going to jail for people who, with excessive reckless speed, such as greater than 100 miles per hour.
Mm.
Sometimes you see this with these street takeovers when they go into the highways.
Yeah, no question. And I didn't know with this if it, you know, when you talk about the highways, one of the things that's so concerning is that we've seen in the past where, you know, emergency vehicles can't even get through. So are these arrests happening in real time, Senator, or do you think that it's more aftermath, if you will, municipalities then being able to arrest, apprehend, you know, what have you, vehicles, people? Is this more in the aftermath? We're still not, what I'm getting at is we're still not quite in a place where in real time we can stop the street takeover or make it go away quicker, right, if it's already happening.
Yeah, we can't completely. It can be very difficult, especially when you have a big mob scene with these street takeovers. And many times they'll occur at night to try to, you know, then track everybody down. There have been a number of arrests afterwards, and I commend law enforcement, including the state police, for what they're doing in that regard. But there's also been a concerted ongoing effort to be as proactive as one can. So when one is hearing about street takeovers potentially happening, police are being proactive, going to those sites, or if they know these gangs are traveling from place to place or exit to exit on the highway, we'll try to then in real time be there. It can be very difficult when they just suddenly appear and show up, and that's what can frustrate people. However, there are more resources being devoted to try to be as proactive as we can. But when these people are arrested after the fact and their vehicles are impounded, then yes, there needs to be stronger penalties to send the message and to hold them accountable for their crimes. As you mentioned, blocking ambulances and fire trucks that are trying to go to help someone or put out a fire, that's absolutely unacceptable, and that's why we're ratcheting up the penalties and better allowing towns and cities to do what they need to do to keep their people safe.
And again, we've got State Senator Jeff Gordon here talking about all the laws taking effect starting today, October 1st. Another thing, Senator, e-bikes. We know that there are some new rules in place for those.
Yes, there are. The growing popularity of e-bikes, it was recognized that these e-bikes are very powerful. They can go actually quite fast for some of these models. And so there is now more of an effort to make certain that these things can be registered if they're above certain characteristics for how much power they have, how fast they can go, but also recognizing that with regards to safety, especially for kids who might be riding these bikes, trying to not get head injuries to require helmets. So it is just not our state that's recognizing this, but other states as well. And if people want to have the e-bikes of different powers and sizes, we're not saying no. We're just saying, look, there needs to be safety, and we need to recognize that some of these e-bikes are powerful enough and fast enough that they're outright motor vehicles, just like a motorcycle. Mm-hmm. And the state does have a responsibility to keep the road safe and keep people safe. And that's what's led to this legislation, but it's not heavy-handed to try to limit people buying these bikes if they wish to do so.
Is there now, though, an age limit? I was reading, Senator, that if you're 16 and under, certain e-bikes, you're still not allowed to operate legally.
Yes, if you're below a certain age, yes, there are limits that are put into place, and that's just because of some of these e-bikes are powerful and fast enough that they're basically akin to motorcycles that can be out there on the road. Some of these can go quite fast, and we're seeing more and more people actually being out on the roads and the highways on them. So yes, we don't allow kids below a certain age to operate a car or operate a motorcycle. And Connecticut is one of many states that's recognizing for safety reasons, we also have to have rules about these e-bikes. And the e-bikes over time with technology are just going to get stronger and faster. And it is really a safety issue. And we don't want to see kids hurt or killed on these bikes that they're not able to handle, especially if they're out on a road or a highway.
Right. I mean, I think it's logical. You've got, unfortunately, we've had some tragedies just in the last year or two where we've lost kids under the age of 16 and they don't even have driver's licenses yet. So I think logically it makes sense that Connecticut jumped on board with this. And I would imagine we're going to probably create more legislation as these become more and more popular, because they are certainly becoming more popular.
Oh, absolutely. And again, we're not stopping the industry. We're not stopping people from buying them. We're just saying, hey, recognize the power of the bike you bought and, you know, what it can really do, and be aware of the laws, just like you are with a motorcycle or a car or a truck. It's the same type of thinking. To me, it's common sense. And I think the e-bikes are going to get more popular. we just want to make certain it's safe, but also safe for others on the road and pedestrians.
Right. Just getting ahead of it. And again, State Senator Jeff Gordon, I want to thank you for always giving us the time here on WICC. We really appreciate it.